How many people have your Bibles today? Amen. Raise them in the air, stand up underneath them, wave them around. All right, you may be seated. It's amazing what you can learn from a game of Red Rover, isn't it? For those of us listening on the radio and those that'll get the CD, they didn't see the children's sermon. So we talked about Red Rover. How many of you out here have ever played the game Red Rover? You finish it. Red Rover, Red Rover. Send Mike right over, right? You didn't need anything to play Red Rover, just yourself, right? I want you to look at this game that we're talking about, and I know it's sort of a throwback to back in my days, I guess, whenever we used to play those games before we had video games and those things that really expanded our minds. We actually had to make fun out of something that was nothing. Understand that this game, Red Rover, as I was thinking about it the other day, I realized that's it. That's it. That's life. Life's a game, a big game of Red Rover. And you might as well say Red Rover, Red Rover, and put your name in there because we're playing Red Rover. And when we get to that line of defense with those hands that are locked, you know, if we hit those hands enough and don't go through, sometimes, well, we just sort of give up before we get there. I remember seeing people that they didn't think they would get through, so they just walked up, hit it, knew they wouldn't get through, and just became a part of the obstacle. And I remember standing in the line, waiting till they said those words, Red Rover, Red Rover, send. And if it came out that they said, send Mike right over, all of a sudden, I was on point. Oh, act like you weren't, right? Unless there were just a line of big guys over there, then I wasn't wanting them to call me. I didn't want to fail. I wanted to overcome the obstacle. So today, we're going to talk about this game in life called Red Rover. We're going to talk about overcoming obstacles because I found if we look back through the Bible, we will see that the joy and the peace that we have in this life and the joy and the peace that we have throughout our eternal life is something God wants for us. He wants us to overcome the obstacles, and something that will really blow your mind is if you look back through the Bible, it will blow your mind to see how many times the word overcome or overcometh is in the Bible. In essence, it's what life is about. It's why Jesus Christ died for us, so that we could overcome the penalty of death and hell. It's what he wants you to do while you're living here, is to overcome these obstacles, not lose your joy, not lose your peace, not run up to the Red Rover line in life and being all afraid, saying, I can't get through, I can't get through. You'll never get through. Last week, we read David's prayer. And this week, as we continue on the end of David's prayer, I want to follow it up by what God continually tells us through his word about overcoming. So turn, if you would, please, to the book of 1 John. It's near the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. When you find your place, say, I have it. Last week, we talked about David's prayer. His prayer is found back in Psalms 51. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to read you the prayer. David prayed as he was separated from God, as he felt like he had lost his joy, he had lost his peace. He found himself being disobedient to God. He found himself in trouble. He found himself looking in the wrong direction. He found himself being preoccupied with the things in his life, and all of a sudden, he became separated from God. He lost his joy. He lost his peace. Listen to his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take thy Holy Spirit, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, listen to this, the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The joy of my salvation. Have you ever lost your joy? Have you ever been walking through this life and you found out that you're a Christian? Not found out, but you knew you were a Christian. And this obstacle came. This tribulation came. This dilemma came. Or even this opportunity came. Or this want came. And you find yourself at some time saying, this was supposed to bring me joy, but I'm not happy. I've even lost the big joy, the joy of my salvation. I feel separated from God. What is wrong with me? We might be just like David. You see, I've been just like this before. As a Christian, I've lost the joy of my salvation before and had to cry out to God. So I want to tell you about my Red Rover experience in the world today. Because you've either had one or going to have one, or you need to talk to somebody that's going through one. David prayed, restore to me the joy of my salvation, uphold me with a free spirit. Now, I told you to turn to 1 John. I sort of want to tell you the end of the story, and then we'll get to it. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, who's there? He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat loveth him also is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You know, that happens to us. When we know we're the children of God, we actually love everybody around us. I can remember him changing me because I know when I was not walking with him, I really didn't love people around me. But now I love people around me and I don't really understand why I love them. Even people I don't like, I love. You say, is there people you don't like? Well, I'm a human being just like you. Aren't there people you don't like? I still love them. I don't want them to die and go to hell. I don't want them to suffer in this world. Listen to verses 3 through 5. For this is the love of God. You want to know what the love of God is? Listen. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That means the love of God is acting. When we're displaying the love of God, when we're showing the joy of salvation, we're keeping his commandments. We're loving others. We're giving to others. We're unselfish. We're not talking about others. We're not running others down. We're trying to get closer to God, closer to God. We're not putting any gods before him. All of his commandments. We're showing them. That's the love of God displayed in our life. But I love this. He makes it more simple. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh. There's our word. Say it with me. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he then? Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. He identifies here two things. He identifies how we can overcome, and he identifies what we're overcoming. He says that we're supposed to overcome the world. Let me tell you what the world is. The world is that Red Rover line that we can't seem to get through. What is it in the spiritual terms that we speak of today? It's any obstacle that stands in our way of us being in a state of joy and peace and fellowship with God Almighty. The world is here, and the world here represents all the things outside of God, all the things that we struggle with. Now, I love it because in this passage of Scripture, there's an important word. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. Say that word with me. Victory. Victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, listen, if you've watched any TV lately, it would be hard for you to find a channel without a ball game on it, right? And here's what's happening. You've got two opposing teams, and they're facing each other. Now, each one of them is trying to obtain victory. They're trying to overcome the other team, right? And in order to overcome the other team, they try to put this play in or that play in or use this person or that person. But the fact of the matter is they're trying to overcome. And listen, here's what happens when they overcome. When it's all over and they've overcome the other team, hands are in the air. They run around. They're shouting. Why? Because they have victory. I watched a little bit of the national NCAA Division I wrestling championships last night. You could clearly tell who the winner and the loser was, because after the end of the match, the winner threw his hands in the air. That's the way you act when you have victory, right? The loser most of the times didn't even want to look up as they shook their hand. Why? Because that's the look of a loser. If you are a child of God, you are a winner. You have victory in Jesus Christ. And I do not think God wants us to walk around this earth without the look of victory, without the joy of our salvation, even though we're going to face obstacles. So today, on that premise, let's talk about overcoming. You see, the challenge last week was to look inside of ourselves, to look deep inside of ourselves, into the places that no one else can see except us and God, and see what was inside of us, to examine ourselves and see if we have the right spirit within us. When we looked at David at this point in his life, we saw that he felt separated from God. He felt discouraged. He felt like he didn't have peace in his life. He felt troubled. He had lost his joy. David, we know this man was a man after God's own heart. How could David lose his joy? Well, you know, it started because David began to look at other things. When everybody went out to war, David stayed back. Well, he had this idea and this idea, and he was wandering around the palace just doing his own thing, not focused on what God was telling him to do, not taking care of the people, but he had his own ideas. I'll just do this and I'll just do that. He had a different idea of what was going to bring him joy and peace. And of course, we know that he saw Bathsheba, and from there, we know that he lost his joy. He saw something that he thought he wanted, and then when he got it, he realized it wasn't the joy and the peace that he wanted, because he cried out at the end, "Lord, please restore the joy of my salvation." Now, the fact of the matter is, sometimes we find ourselves in this same condition, don't we? Let's be honest, don't we? We're all living in a world that continually brings us to a point to where we're facing problems or struggling with situations or struggling with troubles, or going through things that cause us to worry and stress. It may be a financial situation. It may be a condition of our health. It may be a relationship that we have with someone. It may be losing someone that we didn't want to lose. It may be a disappointment that comes when something happens that we didn't want to happen. Or it may be something that we've done, something that we know we shouldn't have done. It may be something that we want, that we've put in front of God. Regardless, we come upon those times where we realize, when we look around and examine ourselves, we've lost our joy. Now, regardless, we all find ourselves in this situation, just like David, when we feel like we've lost our peace and lost our joy. So I want to speak to two groups today. There are only two groups in this world, and it is not the tall people and the short people. It is not this color of people and that color of people. The two groups, when it's all said and done and we stand in front of God, there will be two groups that all of mankind is divided into, and that is those who are lost and those who are saved. Those who have accepted and believed, asked for forgiveness and asked the Lord Jesus to come into their heart and been saved, and those who didn't. So to the person listening today that has never accepted the Lord as your Savior and have been saved, I want to be able to tell you this, but I want to tell you that I love you. I'm so glad somebody told me one day, because I was that person. I want to tell you that this is the point that you have to get to in order to come to God. You'll have to get to the point in life where you hit the Red Rover line and you realize, I can't do it anymore. Or you will never reach up for the hand of Jesus to help you overcome it. As long as you think you can do it by yourself, you'll never see the need to be saved. You'll never see the need to join God's side. You'll always think you can do it yourself. Isn't that right? How many of us never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ until we reached a point of brokenness where we saw, hey, we're lost? That's the way it has to be. You see, it's a point in our life when you have to realize that in this world, we're going to have trouble and trials. And the only way to overcome them is to accept the gift of salvation that God offers us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to admit that we're a sinner. We have to cry out to Him for forgiveness. We have to begin to believe in what Jesus did for us in order to overcome the world. And in order to overcome the world, you have to become a child of God, asking Him to use the blood of Jesus to cover your sins. When this happens, you'll begin to have the power to have peace and joy. Not many people accept the Lord Jesus Christ when everything's just going okay in their life, do they? He wants us to get to a state of brokenness. You see, He never tells us we're not going to have tribulations and trials. Never tells us we're not going to have problems. As a matter of fact, we know we are. We're born under the curse of sin. Back in the Garden of Eden, that's when it was all right. That's when everything was perfect. But sin came in the world, and instead of just bushes and plants, there began to grow thorns and thistles. We have thorns and thistles in our life, don't we? We have disease. We have things that make us ill. We have tribulation. We have trials. That's a product of sin, and we all have it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a Red Rover line standing in front of you. It just means that you can't get through it yourself. You have to use something that can get through it of more power in order to overcome it. To the person that's listening today that is saved and that knows that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, to the person that knows that you're a Christian, do you realize that you can fall back into the times when you start dwelling on the trials and disappointments? You could have had that joy before, and you may be finding yourself right now wondering where that joy is. All you can see is that line in front of you of obstacles. I want to do this, I want to do that, but I can't do this because of this. I mean, I remember finding myself there. Remember, I've told you before, my theme statement in my life, even after I was saved, I had a plan that wouldn't work. I had this plan that wouldn't work. I wanted this. I wanted this for myself. I wanted this for my family. This didn't work out. That didn't work out. I took one step forward, two step back, and I love to say, I can't have nothing. Can't have nothing. Here I was, a child of God, with access to God, and still my attitude to everybody around me was, I can't have nothing. Disgusted with life. You ever been there? Kicking my can down the street with my head down, just wondering why it didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out. Child of God, can you believe that? Crazy, isn't it? Had the power at that point to jump up in the arms of Jesus and say, hey, we can overcome this. We've read His word, and He says, we have victory. We can overcome the world and all the adversities that it throws at us. To that person listening today that is saved and knows you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, don't you know that sometimes we get like David, where we feel discouraged and alone? We feel a lack of peace in our lives, and no one around us can see the joy of our salvation. And I have to ask you, I'm not God, but if I sent my son to die for you, if I watched my son brutally be tormented, beaten, spit upon, put upon a cross, strung up, mocked, a crown of thorns laid down on his head where blood's coursing from him, his side pierced and every bit of blood and water ran out of his body, I would want you to take it serious. If I gave my son like that for you, I would want you to stay appreciative. I would expect you to have a joy when we talked about him. Wouldn't you, if it was your son? And then, again, I'm not God, but I would think that if God gave his son to die for me, and I was living my everyday as a Christian, but no one seemed to see my joy because I wasn't saying it or sharing it, why would he want to keep me living? Hey, that's heavy, isn't it? Why would he? Why did he? I was that person. No one around me saw the joy of my salvation. Why did God keep me here? What was my purpose? Praise God for his grace. Praise God for his second chances. But bottom line, he wants you to have the joy of your salvation and show the joy of your salvation. You know, what happens is we become so deep in our problems that we lose our joy and we feel like, well, this disappointment and that disappointment. Everything that comes out of our mouth is negative. We can't have this and we can't have that. We forgot the joy that we had when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Remember that day? I realize I'm lost, and I realize if I ask the Lord to come into my heart and I ask him to forgive me, today I will overcome death and hell. What a joyous day the day of my salvation was. I couldn't wait to get to the altar. I couldn't wait to say, God, I'm a sinner. Please save me. That day I overcame hell. That day I had a relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. What a glorious day. That's the joy of my salvation. But don't you know that you can lose that joy when you start looking at the Red Rover line of life and the disappointment that comes with every clasped hand? Well, I have news for you today. You don't have to stay in the condition. If you're lost, you don't have to stay in a condition of not having peace and joy with life. Lord Jesus died so that you could have joy and peace. God loves you and he wants you to have it. You don't have to stay there. If you're saved, he doesn't want you there. He gave you breath another day so that you could share your joy, so that people could witness it and want to come to him. He wants you to have joy in your salvation. He wants you to walk with a peace. Even when you hit troubles, especially when you hit troubles, because how is joy and peace proved unless it's tested? Anybody can say, oh, I have joy, I have peace. But do you have it when you're tested? Well, the news I have for you today is you don't have to stay in this condition. The Bible gives us the answers and directions on how to get the joy and peace and how to keep that joy and peace. Is that not awesome? We got the answers. You held up the answers a minute ago, didn't you? Now, I've got good news and bad news. I want you to tell the person beside of you, he's got good news and bad news. Now, question for you. Which one do you want to hear first? You want to hear the bad news first. Amen. Good job. Good job. Early service, we had to stop here and do a whole lecture on good news, bad news, good news, bad news. Always take the bad news first. That way, if you know you have both, the good news can get you back up. If you get up and the bad news brings you down, where are you left at? I'm going to give you the bad news first. Here's the bad news. The bad news is, you cannot get to that point of true joy. You cannot get to that point of true peace. We cannot get to the point of joy and peace in our lives, and we cannot overcome the problems of this world and have eternal joy and peace by coming up with a plan on our own that ensures our success. You can't do it. I can't do it. Why? We don't have a way that we can go on our own that will help us to overcome this world and the problems in this world. I'm sorry, no matter what kind of job you have today, no matter what kind of money you make, no matter how much money you have, no matter what kind of physical health you are in, you do not have a system or a way that can ensure your joy and peace. How many people have had plans before? I can look back at some of my plans and maybe you've had them too, and I get to a point in my life and I think, okay, here, I've got it figured out. If I can get $10,000 or $20,000 here, I can take care of this and this and this. Everything's just going to be smooth. If that'll work out, then I can go over here and I can do this. Man, I work it right out in my mind and it's done, right? And I've got to the place where I got that. And then I got to the point I wanted to be, and I didn't find joy or peace in that place I wanted to be. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever done that? Where I thought joy and peace was, it wasn't. It was a lie. How did I come up with it? Well, it just happened. It appeared in my mind. All of a sudden, I got focused on it. I forgot about that the Bible told me as a Christian, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I forgot that God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I forgot all those things. I started saying, hey, here's a plan. There's times when you think, if I only had the physical health, if I could just do this, I would have joy and peace. I can take you to people today that have great physical health and don't have joy and peace. I can take you to people that have money today and don't have joy and peace. We get in situations in life where we say, if I could get this job, or if I could find this kind of woman or this kind of man, or if I could just be a part of this group or that group, if I could be accepted, if I could just get this plan of life, if I can graduate from here and then go to this school and get this job and end up having an income like this and buy a house right here and have my kids go to school right here, well, then it'll all be good. No, it won't. No, it won't. Our lives are full of our plans that reflect our solutions of overcoming the problems of this world. But the bad news is that none of them can promise joy and peace. None of them can truly keep you in a state of joy and peace. And none of them can truly help you overcome the problems of this world. The bad news is everything that we can do on our own can never bring us anything but temporary joy. Now, I'll tell you something. I was at a point one time where I thought I had everything I wanted. Financially, health-wise, everything. You say you were? I was, past tense, I was. And I was miserable. Miserable. Because joy's not found in that. When you hit those things that you think are your big things now that, if you just had this, you could get over. There's something else. Understand, the bad news is you can't break through that Red Rover line of life in this world and the challenges of this world by yourself. You run through that line and you think, I've got a plan. All of a sudden, you're clothesline, laying right at the bottom of the line, just thinking, what happened to me? Yes, we used to clothesline people that tried to run through like that. You did too, right? Here, I've got my money. I'm going to make through. I can get through this obstacle. And you find yourself right there. I'm physically fit. I'm going to get through this thing. I'm physically fit. I'm going to get through this thing. Nothing's going to bother me. Listen, you can eat as good as you want to, run as much as you want to, and your life can be taken from you today. Now, should you exercise? Should you eat right? Absolutely. That's just smart. But I'm saying it doesn't ensure success. Now, do you want to hear some good news? Yeah. Now, you know you can't break through that Red Rover line by yourself. That's the bad news, right? Here's the good news. If you become a child of God by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you can overcome this world and the problems of this world, and you can overcome that Red Rover line. And if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you already have the power to overcome this world and live with the joy and live with the peace that a child of God has, knowing that through any trial and temptation, through any amount of suffering that you can experience in this world, you can have true joy and peace. You know what's great? I can't tell you now that when I accepted the Lord, or when I rededicated my life back to the Lord, I can't tell you that I've had a problem-free life. I would be lying. Here's what I can tell you. That when the problems came, I could still have joy and peace in the problems. Explain that. I can't explain that. I jumped up in the arms of Jesus, just like Jack jumped up in my arms, and he carried me through that Red Rover line. And I smiled. I was confident. I wasn't afraid going through it. I was like, this is in front of me, but look who I'm with. Amen. There's a confidence in that, guys. If Christians could get that scene in their mind, we would get rid of a lot of stress and worry and anxiety and complaining in life, wouldn't we? You want to look at some words of promise from God's Word? In the book of John, chapter 15, Jesus was preaching a sermon. And he was talking about the true vine. He described himself as the true vine. He described all those that accepted him as the branches. And he described Father God as the husbandman or the farmer who planted it, made it all happen, took care of it, trimmed it, or cut it off. And the key to this whole story, because we're not preaching on John 15, we're just going to use this, but the key to this is staying connected to the vine. I want to read a couple of verses from John chapter 15. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's the same Jesus that stands at your Red Rover line in life and says, hey, you can never break through. Without me, you can't do anything. We have to be in him. What do you mean in him? We have to be carried by him. We have to be focusing on him. When he gets to verses 10 and 11, I love it. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, say that with me, my joy. Now this is Jesus talking, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy, say that with me, that your joy might be full. This is awesome because Jesus had given them the story of being connected to him, the true vine, and then he tells them that we can have true joy, 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 by staying connected to him. How's this? If his joy remains in us, then our joy can be full. You say, well, that's simple. I just need to keep his joy in me and I can remain full. It is pretty simple. That's right. What happens? We don't keep his joy in us. We start looking for joy in other things. If I had this career, if I had this job, if I had this money, if I had this house, if I had this ability, if I had this talent, if I had this group of friends, if I had this kind of husband, if I had this kind of wife, we could go on and on, couldn't we? What happens? Well, we're looking for joy in something else. And guess what that's going to happen? You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. If you're not, then God's messed up and wrote something wrong. And he hasn't. You understand? It can't happen this way. In John 16, 33, Jesus spoke again. That was joy. Now he talks about peace. He says, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hey, there's our word again, right? Who's speaking here? Jesus. What does he say? At the beginning, he acknowledges himself. In fact, in this world, we will have tribulation. How many people know that's true? Say amen. Amen. But he tells us that we can have peace through these tribulations by staying connected to him, in him. He says, in me, you can have peace. He says, only in me can you overcome this world. He says, I have overcome this world and its trials, and the only way that you can is to come to me. Put your belief in me. Accept me. Let my spirit come into you. Get in me. Stay in me. And I will carry you through this world, through any trial and through any temptation, and your peace and joy will be that you know that you will overcome it. When we look back at 1 John and he says that we'll overcome the world, when he starts talking about this is victory, understand, as a child of God, we're in a win-win situation. I talked to Brother Billy the other day and he was telling me about things and we were talking about God's Word and he happened to say, well, I'm in a win-win situation. That's exactly right. I'm in a win-win situation. I have victory if I stay in this life. I get to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in hope of knowing, and he'll bless me and I get to walk with him. If something happens to me today and I leave this place and something happens and I lose my life, I win. I have victory. I can overcome this world. Glory to God, glory to God. Get in me and stay in me and I'll carry you over. I can't think of anything but that Red Rover line. You see, overcome actually means to conquer. To conquer something. To overcome it. Our entire life is a challenge. And the challenge is us against the circumstances that try to defeat us. It's no different than any sporting event or any battle. There are two teams, two opposing forces that are trying to gain victory. In this life, it is us against the world and everything that the world wants to throw at us. But let's make it a little bit more personal. In this life, in the context of this life, there are two sides. There is us, and there is the one that wants to defeat us. There's the one that wants to destroy us. There's the one that wants to doom us. This one that is our enemy, do you know what his name is? His name is the devil. It has always been his plan to destroy us. Is the devil real? Oh, he's real. And his plan is to destroy you. His plan is to keep you upset. His plan is to be able to keep you worried, to keep you unhappy. You say, even child of God, especially child of God. He doesn't want you spreading your joy and your peace, so he wants to keep you that way. And if you take the bait and you start trying to find joy in the things he puts in front of you, you will be defeated. I love what Jesus said in John 10:10. He describes the devil as a thief. You know what he's trying to steal? He doesn't want your money. He wants your joy and your peace. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy." Now listen to what he says. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Here's our choices. Jesus said, "I come that you may have life and not just have life, have it more abundantly. Enjoy it. Have joy. Have peace in this life and in your eternal life." What does the devil want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And he puts a plan in front of us that's so alluring. Peter warns in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." If we don't know this, then we are naive. If we don't believe this, we are naive. God gives us a picture and says, you do have an enemy in this life. You do have somebody that wants you to be defeated, that wants you to come to the trials of life, that wants you to come to all the worldly things and say, "I can't do it." Get upset and rob your victory. And turn around and not even try to break through. And then he wants you to be that person that keeps banging and banging against that Red Rover line, when all you have to do is become a child of God and jump up in his arms and let him just walk right through. What a beautiful picture. There we have it. It's us against the devil. As long as it stays us against the devil and our plans against him, he will win. He'll lure us into trouble. He'll distract us. He'll lie to us. And if we're by ourselves, he will overcome us. But praise God, God loved us, and he made a way for us to win. But we have to do something in order to overcome this world and to overcome the devil. We have to join God by accepting Jesus, and then we have to stay connected by faith. Remember what he says, it's to him that believeth, he overcomes. You see, God offers us his love, but we have to accept it. And once we get in it, there's nothing we can't conquer. There's nothing we can't overcome. How strong is God's love? Let me read to you how strong God's love is. Listen to these words that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Listen to these words in chapter 8. He says, this is how powerful his love is. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" What does God want to give you? He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. You stop right now. If you don't have peace and joy right now, listen hard. He's trying to give it to you even today. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" All those are problems, right? Each one of those things are a link in this world that you can't break through. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? No one." If you're a child of God and you accept the love he had through Jesus, you accept him and walk through those. None of those things can separate us from overcoming them. Isn't that cool? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No or nay in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, don't have the attitude that we're just walking through this life, tiptoeing through the tulips. We can't do anything. Somebody told me about fate or destiny, and I can't even imagine what my destiny or fate is. Listen, it's all in God's hands. He says, I gave you a gift to help you overcome it. And then in the Bible, he tells you, in the words of Jesus, be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. Why aren't we overcoming? We're not going through the line with him. I can look back on my life and I can draw that parallel with everything. I love how he finishes this. He says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor powers, nor principality, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can yank us out of his hands. When we go through that line in life, that Red Rover line, and face those problems, there is no thing that can stand against us. Why? We walk in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that isn't enough, we have some verses to stand on. In closing, I want to share it with you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Listen to this. He says, ye are of God, little children. Now, who's of God? Those who have accepted who? Jesus Christ as their Savior. That means you're of God. Listen, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil is the god of this world. Book of Corinthians, it tells us that's his mission, to be able to blind us to the things in life we think we want. And a lot of us, even Christians, we get blinded and lose our joy. Listen to this. Basically, he's saying, hey, you're my child. I bought you. God says, I bought you with the blood of my son. You're mine. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can overcome this thing. If Jesus is in us, then we know that we have a greater power than the enemy in this world. If you turn that page over where we started our reading, you'll see that he says in 1 John 5, 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me ask you something. When you're walking off of that court, that mat, that challenge, whatever it is your sport is, put it in your mind. Are you walking off with your hands raised like you are a winner? Are you walking off in victory? Do people see the joy of your salvation? You see, you do it every day. Every day is a new match. Every day is a new game of Red Rover. Every day. We're told here that we can have victory. We can overcome the obstacles. Are we acting like it? Have you accepted and jumped into the arms of Jesus and accepted him as your Savior? He died for you. If you're here today and you haven't, please, please listen to that voice inside of you. It's not my voice. You will become just so torn up inside knowing I might not be saved. Listen to that voice. You come and I'll pray with you. See me afterwards, I'll pray with you. Don't let anything stand in your way. Don't be ashamed. That one thing you need to do. If you find yourself broken in life, if you find yourself without, jump into the arms of Jesus. I'll lead you right to him. Accept that he died for you. Give your heart to him. Be saved today. Christian, maybe you've been there before, but where's that joy? Where's my happiness? I'm a child of God, but look at the way I'm walking off the court of life every day. Disgusted, frustrated, like a loser, my head down, kicking my can down the street, saying I can't have nothing. That doesn't sound like somebody that's achieved victory, does it? Your victory was real, wasn't it? Every stripe that Jesus took was real. There was a song they sang back in the 50s and 60s during the civil rights movement, and it was called We Shall Overcome. Does anybody remember that song? The words of that song, there's several verses, and as I was looking at that song, there's a verse that says, deep in my heart, I do believe. I want you to say, we shall overcome. The next verse says, we will walk hand in hand. Say it. We shall live in peace. We are not afraid. Now, I appreciate this song being written, but God wrote this song thousands of years ago in His Word. I give credit to the author of this song, but the author of this song is God Almighty. This is the challenge He puts us in on a daily basis. And your whole life is about overcoming. It's about believing. It's about walking hand in hand through that Red Rover line of worldly things that get us down. The biggest thing would be to never take the hand of Jesus and end up never spending eternity with Him. As a Christian, the thing would be to really walk with a fear, walk with a frustration, and never see the joy in life. I mean, after all, is the joy just for us to keep? Surely God's got a reason to keep me here today. Well, if I'm not showing the joy of my salvation, I wonder what the reason is. You think it's important? I'll tell you how important it is. We were given final instructions in the book of Revelation. Just want to read a couple to you. As God spoke to all the churches, here's what He said. Jesus Himself spoke to the churches through the angel, through John. And they were warnings. Listen to every church that He spoke to. We start at the church at Ephesus and go all the way to the church at Laodicea. This is about us. Listen to the warnings beginning in Revelation 2, going all the way through all the churches. He said, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, say that word with me, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh it is. Revelation 2:11, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That means they won't find themselves in eternity in the lake of fire. In Revelation 2:17, He says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To he that overcometh, say it with me, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh, say it with me, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Every day is a test to see if you and me will overcome whatever is in front of us through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day. Revelation 3:12, he that cometh, overcometh, say it with me, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. Who's he looking for? To him that what? Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, say it with me, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with the Father in His throne. Jesus says, it's all about you overcoming and you can get to where I'm at. Big deal, isn't it? I'll leave you with something. End of the Bible. Revelation 21:7. Listen. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, what is it? What is it that we're afraid of? If we can trust and believe in Him and take His hand, what is it that we want so bad now that we would give up the promise of God saying, you will inherit everything to him that overcometh? The temptation to be afraid now, the temptation to distract now, the temptation to lose your joy now, to him that overcomes that, you're going to inherit everything. And you're going to sit with me and you're going to be with me. It's all about overcoming. Pray with me. Lord, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for your message. I thank you, God, for the pictures you draw in our minds. And I pray, God, today that we all take a look at ourselves and find where we're at, Lord, in this game of Red Rover, that we face these challenges, these tribulations. How are we responding? Have we jumped in your arms? Where do we find ourselves today, Lord? Show us, each one of us, show us. Are we someone who's never truly believed and accepted you and tried to go through with you? Or are we someone that has, but we've lost our joy? We started trying to come up with our own ways. Lord, show us where we're at. Lord, I pray as prayers are lifted up to you today, Lord, and as those who know and are living right where they need to be, Lord, as they fall on their knees and pray for families, pray for friends who might not be, I pray, God, you answer and hear those prayers today, Lord. Soften the hearts. Let the Spirit be so full in here. In Jesus' name.